But we're wrapping this series up pretty quick. In the meantime, we've been talking about this guy named David. David was the second king of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. Israel was always God's people, and they sort of, at one point, God was ruling, and there were judges ruling over the whole land, and then Israel started saying, God, we want a king, not you, we want a king. He said, okay, you can have a king. Saul became the first king of Israel. And when Saul became king, he was good at first, and then he did some things that weren't so great, and eventually God said, okay, you're not going to be king anymore, and the mantle was passed. When Samuel, the prophet, came to David and said, David, you are going to be king. We talked about that for the last few weeks, how he was a shepherd boy and called to be king. And so David, at that point, was like, hey, great king, when? When will that happen? Oh, 10 to 20 years, how about? So David knows that he's going to be king and has to wait. Has to sort of figure life out, has to just carry on, knows that there's a promise of God, but can't recognize when it's going to happen, doesn't know how it's all of a sudden going to happen. And so we've been looking at the life of David in the meantime. In the meantime, from the time that you know that God has some promises and some plans for you, but you haven't taken hold of them just yet. You haven't experienced the fullness of them just yet. You're not there yet. There's something about where you're at that you feel like you just haven't quite accomplished what you believe you should have accomplished. And that's where David was at. Pastor Allen said a few weeks ago, and I loved it, he said, we actually spend more of our life in the meantime than any other time. It's not like there's a whole lot of our life where we're living in the fulfilled dreams of our life, because we get somewhere and there's something next. We get somewhere and there's something next. We get somewhere and there's something next. So it's really important that we figure out how to deal with the meantime, how to deal with the time where we feel like we're not quite there yet, because that's going to be a tension that we have in our lives for an awful long time until we get to heaven. And everything's complete. Up until that point, we're going to bump into, in the meantimes, an awful lot. We're going to look at David's diary this week. David's diary is the Psalms, especially the early books of the Psalms, where we're pretty sure David wrote those. And he may have had more to do with more of the Psalms as well. But while David was in the meantime, he was writing. He was talking to God. He was doing a little bit of journaling in quite an eloquent manner, I might add. And so he was writing the Psalms and talking about what was going on in his life and talking about who he was going to be and who he saw God to be in his life. And so I'm going to sort of bookend this sermon with two Psalms, or little chunks of Psalms, one from Psalm 27 and one from Psalm 40. Psalm 27, 10 to 14 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord, lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. In other words, David's having a pretty junky time. Parents have betrayed him. People are rising up against him. People are telling stories about him. He's having a pretty junky time. He says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he gives himself a pep talk. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. In the meantime, wait. That's what I want to talk about today. In the meantime, wait. David has all of this stuff going wrong in his life. And he says, I will see. I haven't seen yet, and I don't recognize it yet, and it seems like not good things are happening right now, but I will see at some point while I'm living in this land, I will see God's goodness showing up. I will see his plans fulfilled. In the meantime, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we think waiting is just wasting. We think waiting is not actually beneficial for anything. God seems to see it a different way. Kendall and I, one time, we were over in Vancouver and getting one of our favorite, we were at one of our favorite coffee shops. And so we got a tasty coffee. And then we also got a double baked or twice baked, I don't know how you say it, croissant with almond and marzipan and everything. Hello? Is anyone in the room? Oh, That's something that you talk about. And so we got that. We got this croissant and we got this coffee going. And I felt like it was probably one of the best days of my life at that moment. Like, oh, this is good. I don't know if you've ever just been in that moment where you have a good coffee and a good double-baked croissant with almond. It's a good moment. It's a really good moment in life. So I'm thinking anything can happen now, Kendall. If we die, it's okay. You know, I think this is kingdom coming. Like kingdom come, it starts to, you know, I imagine in heaven, this type of eating. So anyways, we're driving out and we turn the corner and we're in Vancouver and the lineup of traffic that we end up in is crazy. It's just like this huge line of traffic, and we're trying to turn. The straight lane seems fine, but the turning lane is all plugged up, and so we're stuck at the back of this huge turning lane, and I'm like, doesn't matter. Got my croissant, and I've got my coffee. This is a good moment, Kendall. Still fine, you know? And so we're waiting and waiting. Well, soon my croissant is gone, and plus my clothes are now dirty, you know? It's pouring all over me. And some time passes. I've now drinking most of my coffee. This traffic isn't moving at all. We've seen the lights go and then come red, green, red, green, red. And it was like Vancouver's the worst, you know. Get me back to Courtney, the farm roads, where we're only ever blocked by cows. You know, I've actually been stopped by cows on the road in Courtney. Yeah, not in Vancouver, though. We're in Vancouver like this. We just got to get out of this city. All we want to do is get up there and turn. Why can't we just move along? We hate waiting. Waiting is the worst. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to? My croissant's gone. My coffee's gone. I'm fed up. So, Vancouver's the worst place. And as we're in this lineup, we're seeing some people sort of turn out of our line and then drive forward and then turn in front of all the people that we're behind. We're thinking, what are these people doing? They don't get to do that. How are they going in the straight and then turning in front of all of our turning people? Why is it that our line is not going? And then a light bulb went off in my wife, the driver. She was the driver, by the way. A light bulb went off and we realized we weren't in the turning lane, we were in the parking lane. We're literally behind all these parked cars. Oh, that's why people are turning out of this lane and going around. They're leaving their parking spot, you know. It was one of the most exciting experiences. Anyways, we went back and got ourselves another. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't. We were able to laugh about it. It was good news. But waiting is not fun. It almost never is. It's almost never something we like doing. In this culture, we learn that waiting's not really a good thing. In fact, even when you're in a waiting room, they give you things to do, you know? Oh, while you're waiting, read this magazine. Or while you're waiting, you pull out your phone and get a few emails done, and you get all this stuff. While you're waiting, you should have something else to do because waiting is wasting time. Waiting is not good. We feel like it's unproductive. Like we're not getting anywhere. Or like we're not getting what we should want. We go to a restaurant and say, I ordered a burger, and I should have that burger. Waiting is not right. Waiting is wasting my time. We get this concept in our minds. We hate waiting for anything. We hate waiting to save our money to go on a trip, so we just get a new credit card. You know, why should I have to wait? I shouldn't have to wait. Where's my credit card? There we go. Just spend the money. You know, we. The other day I was eating a mandarin orange, and you know, when I was younger, I remember mandarin oranges only at Christmas time. You know? That was the thing. I look forward to Christmas and you eat the mandarin, you're like, oh, we must be close to Christmas. This is good. And now it's like, oh, we must be close to Christmas. No, it's March. What? It can't be the case. But we've made it so that every single fruit on the planet is available at any single time thankfully due to genetic modified foods. So that we don't have to wait for a season for a particular type of fruit. Why should we have to wait for a ripe fruit? That's not fair. I should get what I want. Waiting is wasting time. My outside of our front door, we have a little strawberry. I don't know what to call it. I thought about calling it a bush, but that would be a lie. It's more like a sapling, like a little tiny thing. Anyways, we have this strawberry plant outside of our door. And every time we walk by it, our kids are like, oh, a strawberry, can I have it? And the strawberries that they ask for, first of all, are tiny, and second of all, are white. You know, they're not ready yet. Those are red. Those need to be red, and those are white. And so every time we'll say no to Hardy, and then he's like reaching his hand out like this. I'm like, hey, get back, Hardy. Get inside, you know. And every time, every single time he goes and he wants to grab the strawberry. No, 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 not ready, Hardy. Get inside. I want it. Get inside. I shouldn't have to wait. Get inside. You know, he goes to grab the strawberry again. No, 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 Hardy. You don't get that strawberry right now. Get inside. And then one day, I guess I took my eyes off him for a moment. And he's pulled something off. I look back and he's holding the strawberry with a little coy grin. You know. Did you just pull that off, Hardy? Well, you have to eat the whole thing. You're going to eat the bitter fruits of your disobedient son, you know? I gave him, so it's like this white strawberry with a light pink hue on it. That's all it's got. And he's holding that thing and he goes, he's so excited. He thinks, yes. My dad's letting me eat this. This is the best moment in my life. And he goes, he puts it in his mouth, he takes a bite, and his face goes like this. Like, it's just the worst thing that he can imagine. I said, you're eating the whole thing. Don't throw that on the ground. You can't waste that because you wouldn't give it time. You wouldn't wait for it to get ripe. You can't just waste it now and toss it away. You decided you were going to pull that fruit before it was ready. Now you better eat the whole thing. And by the way, there's not a replacement for that. Well, there might be. We'll see. But I have to teach the boy a lesson, right? So he, amen, Jenna. There must have been a lull there. Sometimes we do this exactly with our faith. This exact thing that my son does with strawberries, we do with our faith. God, I just want it. I just want it. Lord, give it to me. No, you can't have it yet. You're not ready yet. I just want it. Give it to me right now. I want it. I want it. I want it. No, you're not ready yet. I want that new promotion. You know, I want that new job. I want that. I want a wife or a husband. I want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I want that new car. I want a house. I want to make more money. I want to go on that vacation. I want to do all those things. I just want it. God, you said I could have it. Can. But it's not ready yet. You're not ready yet. There's a ripening that needs to happen. There's some time that needs to go in. There's some development that needs to happen in you. There's some development that needs to happen in that plan. And you're going to get there, and I've put it before you. I've promised it to you, but you're not ready yet. Imagine David, right? God, you said I was going to be king. David, you're not ready yet. Yeah, but what's this accomplishing? I'm living in caves. I'm running for my life. I'm running away from Saul. He's pursuing me. He's trying to kill me. What is this accomplishing, David? You're not ready yet. David, the plan's not ready yet. David, I haven't ripened it yet. I haven't got it in place yet. All you need to do right now, David, is wait. You need to trust. You need to wait. Waiting is not wasting. Waiting is trusting. When we wait, we're willing to trust God. If we're not willing to wait, we're not willing to trust God. Us not waiting when God's told us to wait is us assuming that we can accomplish God's plan for our lives better than He can accomplish His plans for our life. God, I know that you wanted to do this, so I'm going to do it. I thought you just said you knew that I want to do this. Yeah, well, I'm going to do it because you're taking too long. You must not understand. When you told me I was going to be king, you didn't understand what it was going to take. But don't worry, I understand, God, what it's going to take to fulfill the plans that you have for me. So I'll go and do it. Galatians 6:9 is one of my favorite verses. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I love that verse because it says at the proper time. It doesn't tell you when. It doesn't tell you how long. It doesn't tell you what you're going to have to go through. It doesn't tell you what you're going to how many people are going to surpass you in life as you wait. It doesn't tell you how many things are going to change. It doesn't matter tell you how many traumatic experiences you're going to walk through, how much healing you're going to require, how many people are going to betray you or hurt you. It doesn't tell you any of that stuff. It just says, at the proper time, if you will wait, you will reap a harvest. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. In the meantime, wait. I want to tell you five things that that happen while we wait. One, we discover how much we want it. If you want the plan of God in your life, you'll be willing to wait for it. We're willing to wait for things that we highly value. We're willing to wait for things that we think are really important in our lives. If we're not willing to wait, we don't value it all that much. So when God says wait, sometimes he's just saying, I want to know how much you want it. I want to know how much value you're placing on this, because if you're not willing to wait for it, you must not really care for it that much. If you want my plan for your life, wait for it. If you don't, then just go ahead and do your own thing. Start. But he says, wait, and then I'll discover how much you want that thing. The second one is we develop patience. Some people call that weakness. We develop patience. Patience is a good thing. In fact, some say patience is a virtue. Patience is a good thing to learn how to do. It's a good thing to learn how to slow down. It's a good thing to not have to push the pace all the time. It's a good thing to be able to just say, I can wait. I can wait. I'm capable of waiting. It's a good thing. Number three, we grow in anticipation. Isn't that true? I don't anticipate mandarin oranges at all anymore. Anyone with me? You're sort of disappointed. This is just a normal spring day. This is a normal winter day. This is a normal summer day. This is a normal fall day. This is a normal anything day, but it's not Christmas, you know, with mandarin oranges. I don't anticipate the mandarin orange at Christmas time anymore because I have it all through the year. If God just said, hey, here's what you want, have it, why would we ever want it? You don't want things that you have. You don't long for things that are always yours. But when God places something before us and says, hey, you're going to be king, you're going to be queen, you're going to have this future, we say, I want that, God. He said, okay, good. Wait. And watch how much more you want it in a couple of years. Watch how much more you want it in a little while when things are going a little bit south. Watch how much more, because then when you get it, you'll know who to thank. And you'll do it with a whole lot of passion at that point. Fourth is we become who we need to be. A lot of when you look at David's life after he became king, you recognize that the things that he was going through in the caves made him the man he was supposed to be to lead the country. If he didn't walk through some of those times and learn how to treat people right, learn how to honor his leader, learn how to take care of people, learn how to restrain and hold back when he needed to hold back, if he didn't learn some of those things, he wouldn't have been a great king. The fifth one is we learn to depend on God. When we wait on God's plan for our lives, we say to God, I trust you more than I trust myself. I give you my understanding, and I don't get this right now, and I don't know where things are at right now, and I would have pictured this going differently. But I trust that you can carry this out better than I can carry this out. When we say that, when we wait, we start to develop that piece of us, that dependency on God. We discover how much we want it. We develop patience. We grow in anticipation. We become who we need to be. We learn to depend on God. I love David's, one of his psalms later, one of his diary entries later in Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. We started at Psalm 27 where he says, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Psalm 40, it comes sometime after he's seen some of the things he was waiting for. Sometime after some of the prayers have been answered and some of the longing has been received, some of the things that he was believing for have happened in Psalm 40. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited. He's talking past tense now. Looking back on his life. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. I just want you to hear something about that chunk of scripture, because this impacted me a lot as I spent time with this week. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. I don't know, often we just read through those things and carry on and that's it, but I want you to know what I imagine when I think of someone waiting patiently. I imagine when I see in Scripture that I'm supposed to wait patiently for God's plan and for God's deliverance and for God to do something, I imagine I'm supposed to wait like this, you know. Lord, I'm so content and happy and fine. Thank you that your plan is coming. I'm patient. Amen. You know. And I'll keep waiting, God. And I'll smile while I do it. Sometimes when I read Scripture, I think that, but here's David's words. I waited patiently. And he turned to me and heard my cry. My cry. David's calling out to God in patience. Patience isn't about us making sure that we get in a state of contentment and okay and happy, make sure I'm okay. Contentment is a good thing, but David wasn't always there. Patience is a resolution. It's to resolve to not move on to your own capabilities beyond what God wants to do in your life. It's a resolve to not try to make this work yourself instead of asking God to make it work for you. It's a resolve to not step into the next thing when God's saying, wait a moment. I think David still cried out to God. In fact, he says it right here. I waited patiently and I cried out. These aren't in opposition to each other. It's not that we have to say, God, I'm so glad that my life is awful, because that probably means something good is coming. I'm so happy about that, Lord. In all of my, you know, maybe God's going to give you that incredible supernatural ability to do that. But who we are, I mean, David, I imagine David, in fact, his Psalms tell us that. He said, God, what is going on? Why am I still here? You said I was going to be king. Why am I not there yet? Why am I still stuck in this place? Why am I still in the meantime? Why am I still in the caves? Why are they still wanting to kill me? Why are there still new people betraying me? Why do I still have friends coming against me and turning on me? Why do I still have people telling stories about me that aren't true? Why is this all happening in my life? Why am I not the king yet? Why am I stuck in this place now, God? What is going on? How am I supposed to do this? But God, I'm not going anywhere if you don't call me to it. God, I won't move beyond this point. My feet are planted because I know that you will lift me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. You will set my feet on a rock and give me a firm place to stand. You will put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to God. And when we try to work up some sort of ability to be happy in times when we just shouldn't be happy, one, we get kind of weird, you know? That's kind of weird. People come up to you and say, how are you doing? Oh, no problem. Just lost the old job, but hey, no problem. A Christian, you know, the cross, you know, it all made it fine. I just lost my job. I'm back addicted again, and I'm doing all those things. My girlfriend and my boyfriend broke up with me, but anyways, isn't it good that God is on the throne? You get weird. People are like, you have no idea what's going on in your life, do you? You have no idea what you're facing. A better testimony is, I am in the hardest place I've ever been in my life. But I have no doubt that God is going to use this for something in my future. I have no idea when. I have no idea when it's going to happen. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I have no idea how it's going to be accomplished. I just cannot see the future at this point. But I have no doubt that God is with me, that He will put my feet on solid ground, that He will put a song in my mouth, because right now I'm having a hard time singing to Him. And I will wait. until he saves me from this. And he makes me king. And he gives me my future. And he gives me the plan. And he allows me to prosper. Because my patience says that I trust God more than this bad circumstance. My patience doesn't say I don't see this bad circumstance. It says, even in the midst of it, I will wait on God. I will wait on God. And he will take care of me. He'll take care of my future. Worship team, could you come and join me? I just want to ask you, have you decided that having what you can provide for yourself is better than waiting for what God could only provide for you? Is there anything in your life today that you sort of sit here and we're in church and we're here, and have you decided that you're going to make yourself happy? You know, force yourself happy instead of just saying, God, I'll wait for you. I don't feel happy, but I'm believing that you can do it. You wanted to make yourself rich. Wanted to give yourself promotion. Instead of saying, God, I'm not seeming to move forward too much in the old financial department or in my job, but I'm going to trust you. Maybe you've decided that you need to get in a relationship that you shouldn't be in. Say, I just need to get here. My life is not moving forward. I need to get married. I need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I need to step into the next stage of life, and I don't seem to be getting there very quickly, and I know God wants it for me, so I'm going to make it happen. Have you decided anywhere in your life that you would rather provide something for yourself? You would rather do that than wait for the provision of God? Because today I feel like God wants to meet you in that space. David had some raw psalms. He had some raw diary entries. He was frustrated. He was concerned. Sometimes he felt a little bit afraid. Started looking around and not being able to see how it was all going to get resolved. He had some difficult seasons in the meantime. Kept just saying, God, I'm going to wait on you. Waiting is not wasting. Waiting is not me saying, I guess I won't get to move forward anymore in life because I'm not doing it myself. Waiting is saying, I bet God can move me forward more than I could ever move myself forward. I bet God could pull me into God's destiny for me more than I could ever pull myself into it. If we want the promise of God, we need the process of God. If we want God's plan for our life, we need to walk His steps. If we want His destiny for us, we need to decide that we're going to take it the way He asks us to journey it. We're going to stop pursuing the things that He never asked us to pursue. We're going to put aside the things that He never asked us to pick up. We're going to drop them and leave them there and say, okay, my identity is not wrapped up in that. But God, I'm feeling like I don't have an identity. And I'm feeling like people are passing me by. And I feel like people are missing me. And I'm not getting the opportunity that I wish I could get in my church. And I'm not getting noticed where I wish I could be noticed in my family or in my workplace. And so I picked up these things so that I can look a certain way and people will notice me in a certain way. And God, I'm going to put those down. And I'm scared. Now, I don't know what that's going to mean, but I'll wait until you tell me. I'll wait until you show it to me. And I'll trust you that what you do for me 20 years down the road will accomplish more for me than if I take little steps for myself all the way along. Today, as we wait on God, He may say, I need you to drop some things. I need you to stop holding on to that thing. So I have a plan that's better than that for you. God's got dreams for you. He had dreams for David. But David wasn't ripe. The plan wasn't ripe. and you get God's plan before it's ripe, you get bitterness. Just like the strawberry. We can all look at strawberries. We all know, because we learned when we were kids, that some things just take time. And yet, in our faith, we've somehow decided that doesn't apply. God made strawberries, you know. If he thought some things should take time, why wouldn't he think that some other things should take time? Oh, it's true for strawberries, it's true for all the fruit, and it's true for all the trees, and it's true for all that stuff, but not true for your character. Come on. God's saying to you, I want to take time with you. I want to walk with you because I'm more about relationship than result. I want to see you through the journey, and I want to be part of your ripening process. I want to be with you when you get ripe. When that plan gets ripe, I get to put it all together, and we get to see something you could have never accomplished yourself anyways. But will you wait? Will you wait and hear from me, even in times where you're not really excited about where you're at? So we're going to, today, we're going to just sort of end like this. I don't want the worship team to pick it up much beyond where we're at right now. And some of you are going to say, I'm good. You're going to head out and you can leave. Some of you are going to sit here and you're going to wait on God, and God's going to start to communicate some things to you that you need to stop carrying. You've done a lot of the heavy lifting yourself, and God is saying to you, stop lifting it. I want you to wait on me, and I'm going to pick up the burdens for you. But you got to wait. Those burdens aren't meant to be lifted right now. That's why they feel so heavy. Put them down. Leave them there. And wait until I come and pick them up. And we'll get moving. Some of you today, you don't know some of what we're talking about, but Jesus Christ, in the Bible, he said that he would pick up our burdens. That our burdens would feel too heavy, but he has a light burden for us to carry. That he has a light, an easy yoke for us to walk. Jesus Christ wants to start a journey with you. He wants you to know the life that he gives. He wants you to know the grace that he gives, the forgiveness that he gives to you. He wants you to know that he is excited about a relationship with you, and he's not worried about the results of the past or the results of the future. He's worried about a relationship with you. So wherever you've been, Jesus wants to say to you, I'm for you. I love you. I want you to follow me. I want you to walk after me. I want you to put down the things that I never asked you to pick up. I want you to wait until I move forward. Today, some of you are going to make a first-time decision for Jesus. Say, I've been carrying a whole lot of things, and I never knew I could put them down and Jesus could carry me. But he's saying that to you. Today, if you want to make that choice, Keith and Pat and some of our pastoral team will be heading over there, and we'd love for you to go and pray with them, take some time with them. But if you just want to sit and wait, do it. If you want to go, you can go. But have a great week this week. Wait on God. Don't rush him, because you'll get beyond where you're supposed to be. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He wants you to wait on it. Wait on him. Amen?